As we approach closer and closer to the mystery of God dwelling with us, Holy Church, through her liturgy, helps to unfold the nature of this mystery. For St. Matthew, whose gospel is most earnestly translated back into the Aramaic, that is, the common language of the time, is best understood, and indeed, there is both internal and external evidence to indicate that St. Matthew wrote this gospel in the popular language of the time, for it was geared especially towards the chosen people, and so it is most probable he would have wrote it in the common language in which they spoke. Regardless of whether it was originally composed in the Aramaic, it is clear through the doctors and fathers of the church, his gospel was composed under the authority of St. Peter, and so we know full well, as the church always tells us, that the scripture is truly infallible, and so all that is intended to be taught to us by St. Matthew, we can be assured of it being absolutely true. And so St. Matthew begins this gospel by giving the genealogies of all those prominent members in the history of salvation prior to the advent of Christ, and he will continue to go through many generations, always a father begets a son. But when he comes to this mystery, he changes, for he tells us that Joseph's father Jacob begot him, and then immediately changes and tells us that Joseph is the husband of Mary, of whom was conceived the Christ. And so we learn from this very clearly that it is from the flesh of Our Lady that our Lord becomes man, and so there is no common generation by which all human beings come into this world through their mothers and the fathers. And by this change, we can also understand absolutely beyond a shadow of a doubt that Saint Joachim and Anne were blessed by God with one child, and that they had no male heirs, because a woman of such a union, if she was the only child, was obligated by law to marry a man from her own tribe, that is, the tribe of Judah, of whom Joseph was a member. And so this mystery truly begins to be unfolded before us. But also, it is a greater mystery, for the angel, for St. Matthew truly shows us that there is a miracle transpiring here beyond our comprehension. And indeed, if God had not revealed this mystery to us, then we would truly not understand it. And so we see very clearly that much abused passage, that when the angel says, "Do not be afraid to take Mary your wife," often it was translated, "Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife." But very clearly, the sense is very clear, especially if we understand the obligations of the law during the time of the chosen people. For this word that is often translated to take is best understood in the original language as to keep or to retain. And so one theologian would translate the passage thus: "Dismiss not, O Joseph, thy wife Mary, but keep and retain her." That is, he is pointing out that nothing can or is put away save what has been received and possessed. And so, if Saint Joseph was not at this time the true husband of Mary, it would have been impossible for him to put the Blessed Virgin Mary away. And so, we learn very clearly that Saint Matthew is telling us this marriage, this betrothal, and indeed, betrothal is understood according to the Jewish tradition as espousals, that is, a true marriage transpiring. We see very clearly that one of the common errors of our age is truly refuted by St. Matthew, for this mystery of the incarnation of the Word of God will transpire within the holy bonds of a sacred matrimony, indeed, the most sacred of all matrimonies. And so, Christ truly is the fruit of a marriage. He is not the fruit of an unwed mother, but he is the fruit of a true marriage, the marriage of Joseph and Mary. And so he is born in wedlock, but as St. Augustine would point out, he is not of wedlock, for the common way in which human beings are generated does not transpire here, as the angel points out very clearly that it is the Holy Spirit, and St. Luke also would confirm this. Thus, but thus he may be rightfully ascribed, that is, Saint Joseph, to be his true father, because according to the law, it was the father who was the rightful possessor of the fruit of the marriage. And so Saint Joseph here is revealed to us as a true father, the true father of Christ in the flesh. And so it may be, and so it is that our Lord may be ascribed rightfully either to his father or to his mother. And again, we see very clearly that a true marriage was truly present and truly transpired. And from this, we can also begin to discern some of the prerogatives, not of Our Lady, but of Saint Joseph, for those prerogatives are many, and they truly establish this mystery in the hearts of men, as it is truly to be understood, and so it reveals to us the uniqueness of the Holy Family at Nazareth, and also reveals to us that it is in this family that we truly have true hope, and indeed the only hope that we can truly have. And so Saint Joseph, his first prerogative is that he is the husband of the Blessed Virgin and the father of the Christ. Thus he is the head and the superior of both the Virgin Mother and the child of Christ, insofar as he was man. And so there is a true paternity exercised by Saint Joseph over the Blessed Virgin Mary and the Christ child. Secondly, we may discern that the Blessed Mother and the Christ child gave to Saint Joseph a singular love and reverence. Do we desire to know, one theologian would ask, how great was Saint Joseph? And he answers very simply, he was the husband of the Mother of God. And so we begin to discern just how holy this patriarch was and how essential he is to the mystery of Christmas, and most especially how that mystery is to be lived out in the mystical body of Christ, and how we too are to approach Saint Joseph with the singular reverence and love of the Blessed Virgin Mary and of the Christ child, who poured upon him untold affections of love, and that love was always in context to his being the husband of the Virgin Mary and the father of the Christ child. And so it would be pointed out that his ministry in office was most noble because it pertained to the order of the hypostatic union, that is, of the Word becoming flesh and dwelling amongst men. A theologian, Francisco Suarez, in explaining this mystery, says, there are some offices which pertain directly to the order of grace making grateful. And in this, the apostles hold the highest rank. And we also would be included in this because, ultimately, the life we live is a life of being grateful that God entrusted all the mysteries of the faith to the apostles who handed it on to them. And then Francisco Suarez points out in perfect hierarchical fashion in regards to the apostle that the apostles hold the highest rank and therefore are in need of greater assistance of grace than all other members of the mystical body. And then he makes a most important and startling distinction, for he says, there are again other offices which pertain to the order of the hypostatic union, which is a higher order, as is plain from the motherhood of God in the Blessed Virgin. And then he declares, without apology and in accord also with St. Peter Julian Emard, and in this order, St. Joseph exercised his ministry, that is, when God decided to create, Christ was the firstborn of all creation. But Christ was not to come into this world simply in and of himself, but he was to come in a precise context, and in that context, we're dealing with the order of the hypostatic union, and every member invited directly into that order is involved in that higher order. And so, Saint Joseph, being ordained from all eternity to be the father of the Christ child on earth and the husband of the Mother of God, was a member of that order which is higher than the order in which we dwell, for we exercise that gratefulness by which we truly recognize the uniqueness of this mystery that will transpire on Christmas Day. And so all of the labors and actions of this blessed Saint Joseph were carried out in immediate proximity to the person of Christ. That is, he nourished, cherished, and guarded Christ, and he taught him the art of carpentry by which he provided for the Holy Family. And so we see very clearly that what was Saint Joseph noted for? He was noted for that virtue that burns most brightly in the Immaculate Virgin Mary, his generosity. For all he did for the Christ child. All that he did in nourishing and cherishing and teaching the Lord, he did in order to serve that order of the hypostatic union. And so we too must strive to imitate this most noble member of the Holy Family, chosen by God to truly be the guardian and protector of the Virgin Mary and of the Christ child, and hence it logically follows the protector of the mystical body of Christ. And so, by his companionship with Christ and Mary, he became a sharer in their divine secrets and daily strove to imitate their lofty virtues. And this is why, especially in an era of trial and tribulation, we must always strive to live in that mystery that transpired in Nazareth and throughout the life of the Holy Family. For in doing so, we stay close to those secrets and to be understood not as secrets in the sense that God wishes to hide them, but he wishes to reveal them only to those who in humility strive always to keep companionship with the mother and the Christ child, as Saint Joseph did as he exercised that most noble ministry of being the superior of the Holy Family. And so it can be logically concluded, based on these prerogatives, that Saint Joseph exceeds all men in holiness because, as it is pointed out, it is more to be the father and the governor of Christ than his preacher with the apostles or his forerunner with Saint John the Baptist. And so, as we approach this mystery, we begin to learn that on earth there is only one noble, divine, and heavenly family, and that is the family of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. And so it is to that family that we must always aspire union with and always seek the solutions that try and the tribulations that trouble a society that has truly forgotten God. For this mystery is the most important of all mysteries that have transpired in the history of humanity. Indeed, if we were to understand history as his story, that is the story of the Christ child, then there are two souls that are intimately linked, and that history cannot be told unless it is also told, that story that the Blessed Virgin Mary and Saint Joseph were involved in. And so it is not even possible to hold true history unless we hold a love for Saint Joseph and the Blessed Virgin Mary, that same love that burned in the heart of the Christ child. And so we are startled by a striking reality and a mystery that is truly beyond our comprehension. But we know that this mystery cannot be denied. And we know because faith tells us that a true marriage took place. For Saint Augustine would point out that the good of marriage is fulfilled in those parents of Christ. There is offspring fidelity, a sacrament, for these are the three goods of marriage. The offspring we clearly recognize as Christ, the fidelity because there was no adultery involved, as is the common interpretation of this mystery in our modern world, and there was truly a sacrament, for there was no divorce that took place. Indeed, Saint Joseph did not even contemplate divorce as it was understood in the law, because if he were, as Scripture says, and so he is, the just man, if he had suspected anything untoward in the Mother of God, he would have delivered her to a public stoning. And so he clearly understood that this mystery that he was a part of was a mystery that was rooted in the divine Trinity, and most especially the power of the Holy Spirit. And so in his humility he sought to bow out, but he would learn from the angel that this was not the will of God, because he learned from the angel that in one and the same womb the chaste mother of Christ at one and the same time gives him his human flesh and unites to himself a human body and also a spiritual body composed of those who believe, that is, the mystical body of Christ. and incorporated as the first member of that mystery would be the Blessed Virgin Mary, and after her, Saint Joseph. So we see very clearly that is what transpiring here is a mystery that is rooted in our Lord assuming our human nature and also immediately beginning to amass his body, his mystical body, which is the church. And in light of this, it is this we can see very clearly why we must devote much time, but even if we devote a little time into contemplating this mystery, we see why the Mother of God is eager to give to us the excellent gifts she gave to Christ and to Saint Joseph. For ultimately, this mystery is a mystery rooted in the fiat of the Mother of God. For without the fiat, Christ does not receive the gift of his humanity. Without her fiat, we know nothing of Saint Joseph and that mystery that he was called into. And so we see very clearly from this why Our Lady is the basis for the hope that truly burns in us. For without her, we would know nothing of the love of God. Without her, we would not have the grace in order to exercise that love, for she truly is revealed in this mystery as the dispensatrix of all the graces that God wishes to give to the human family. And so, let us truly take Our Lady as our hope, as the only true hope, for it is to her who pondered these things in her heart to reveal to all humanity the Christ child and Saint Joseph, and in doing that, we begin to see that it is only striving for the life of this family that the human family can even survive. And so, let us strive to have none of the nonsense of our modern world. For in our modern world, we see vicariously this mystery assaulted in some of the predominant sins of our day, particularly the sin of abortion. And notice that in every case, it is not the child who chooses to die. It is those who are called to defend the life of the child that choose not to kill, but as it is taught in the church, to murder the child. What is unique about this? What is unique is that in Christ, we have a child who did choose to die, and he is the only child that chose to die and the only child that will choose to die, because he chose to die in order that every child may have life. And so, without the Holy Family, without this mystery, we cannot even combat the untold slaughter of the innocents in the womb of their mothers. It can only become overcome by the supernatural reality. And so we must always remember that when humanly speaking, the world seems to have no hope, it is in the supernatural order at that moment that its hope burns most brightly if we truly enter into that mystery and show that we are members of his mystical body because we truly believe. And most especially, we believe that the Holy Family has the power and the authority from God the Father to transform human society. Whether the Holy Family transforms it in an instant or after several decades or centuries of persecution, that is for them to determine. It is for us to only serve them in the manner that Saint Joseph served them, to exercise that generosity towards the whole of humanity that was exercised by all members of the Holy Family in a unique and particular way. And then we come to understand how Our Lady truly does become the co-redemptrix of the world on Mount Calvary, in which she offers her son on the altar of his slaughter for the sake of mankind. And then we become to understand the significance of the missing Saint Joseph. For at that time, he could not have been present. As Saint Matthew points out to us, the angel says, "Joseph, son of David," that is, rightful heir to the throne, and hence the one who would have to have been slaughtered. But being merely a man, his slaughter would not have sufficed to assuage the anger of God. It had to be an infinite slaughter. And so we are brought back to that time when Saint Joseph would hand over the running of his shop to the Christ child, in which he lied on his bed, dying of a sorrow that is untold. For when Saint Joseph passes from this life, he does so in perfect sacrifice. He had to, at that moment, and the tears we cannot imagine that rolled down his cheek, now he would have to bow out of the mystery in order that the sacrifice may take place. He had to sacrifice his protection of the Holy Family in order that the Christ child may die for us. And so it can truly be said that amongst those conceived in original sin, there has been no one who has left this world or will leave this world with the love with which Saint Joseph left this world when he sacrificed everything that God created him for in order that the mystery of our salvation may take place. And so, as we approach the cave in Bethlehem, let us go with Saint Joseph, who alone is in a unique position to show us and to unveil to us these mysteries so that we always hold them in proper perspective and always know why it is not permitted for us to despair. For if it seems insignificant to the world that one family who was not even allowed in the inn, that is, told to depart from this earth, is it insignificant, this family? By worldly standards, yes, but we know by faith that this family renewed the face of the earth. We know that because we know there was a period of Christendom in which men had to spend untold centuries defending Christendom from the onslaught of all those who would destroy it. And many will say, we have no hope to return to that time. The saints would answer, that is true, because we must hope and believe that there will become a greater time, that in that notion of holy rivalry, we will exceed that culture that was known as Christendom, because the mystery that we contemplate, the mystery that we are a part of, is a supernatural mystery. And so it can always be a greater manifestation of it in this earth. And so let us strive to seek to sanctify those areas that Christ has given us authority over. And in a certain sense, not to worry about the salvation of the world that is in the hands of Christ, but to only carry out our mission as children, serving Joseph and Mary as Christ did. And let us believe, no matter how insignificant that mission may seem, let us learn from the saints, as the little flower would point out, to tie the shoe of a child in complete love of God could cause the salvation of 10,000 souls that we will never see. That is, she was pointing out, by our incorporation into this mystery, every action is elevated to the supernatural order, and the simple things we do in life, if done out of love for Jesus and Mary and Joseph, have supernatural ramifications, and their effects are seen beyond the time that we live because they are incorporated into an eternal mystery, that is, the incarnation of the Christ child who came to renew all things so that no one may be lost to the Father.
Fructum ventris tuum.